Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. In the spotlight on Money FM 89.3.
You're listening to Primetime on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly with Timothy Goh. And in news out today, UMNO Vice President Ismail Sabri Yaakob will be the 9th Prime Minister of Malaysia.
Well, the King confirmed this shortly after a brief meeting with Malaysia's other state rulers. The palace at Sultan Abdullah Ahmad Shah has consented to appoint Datuk Seri Ismail Sabri Yaakob and will swear him in tomorrow at 2:30 in the afternoon.
To get the latest on the political situation in Malaysia and what this means for the political landscape there, we're joined now by Dr. Mustafa Izzuddin. He's a senior analyst in social and international affairs at Solaris Strategies Singapore. Dr. Izzuddin, thank you for joining us this evening and welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
So let's start off. We've seen quite a few twists and turns when it comes to Malaysian politics over the last few weeks and months even. Now that the King has said that Datuk Seri Ismail Sabri Yaakob will be sworn in tomorrow, are we likely to see any other twists and turns?
I think with the King announcing it, and I don't think you'll see anything from now to the swearing in that would result in Ismail Sabri not becoming prime minister. So I can't see any twists and turns which would thwart his swearing in. But certainly you'll continue to see criticisms and objections to his appointment that will continue even after the swearing in.
All right. Three of the sovereigns did not attend the meeting, though. Do you think this will have any bearing on the, well, perhaps the credibility of the choice for Ismail Sabri Yaakob as the next prime minister?
No, I don't think it would be. I think they've perhaps had their own reasons why they were not present. I think what's most important is that the palace has made the announcement. Mm-hmm. And because it has come from the palace, I think it's pretty much all systems ahead for Ismail Sabri.
Okay, from what I understand is that, Dr. Mustafa, is that after the appointment of the King, then he will still have to shore up enough support within Parliament. Does he have the enough numbers?
Yes, I think for the King to have made his announcement means that he has evidence that he has the support of the majority lawmakers in Parliament, even though he's raised a teen. So that would mean that going into the no-confidence vote in September, he would have the numbers. So I think the challenge for Ismail Sabri is to keep these lawmakers with him, they display with him, and then so that when the vote finally takes place, he has the numbers and he would be able to withstand no-confidence vote. I think for the King, that is important because that is the Parliament who decides rather than it comes from the Istana itself.
I see.
So the question is, what will he deliver and I guess can he deliver?
I think that's a magical question, and I think it's a bit early to tell, but I think he should be given a chance, the new Prime Minister. He has a wealth of ministerial experience at the right age where he can connect with those who are much older in politics and also those who are slightly younger in the 40s or 50s. So I think he's at the right age, who has ministerial experience, a lot of grassroots knowledge as well. So, and he was also in the cabinet that was fighting the pandemic. So certainly, I think he should be given a chance, and let's see how he performs. So I think at the moment, obviously, he's on a lot of pressure to deliver, but I think he should be given a chance to prove himself.
All right. Assuming that Ismail Sabri Yaakob can deliver and have enough numbers in Parliament, what about among the people? There was a petition going around today with over 300,000 signatories now, asking the King not to appoint Mr. Sabri Yaakob as the Prime Minister. Does this have any bearing at all going down in the future, moving forward?
I think the petition, of course, such petitions is important to take cognizance of. But I think at the same time, you're leading a country and you'll have to see what is in the interest of the country. I think for someone like Ismail Sabri, I think this is an opportunity for him to be a prime minister of all races, even those who disagree with him, and look at healing the country. And the best way to show that you want to unify the country is to put all your efforts in battling the pandemic. And that's what I think is on the minds of most, if not all, Malaysians.
Okay, Dr. Izzuddin, so what can we expect from his potential cabinet when it comes to appointments then?
Yes, I think this is something that he will have to think through it very carefully, because it's also not the time now when you're battling the pandemic to do a trial and error experimentation or of those who you want to be in your cabinet at this point in time. You want to go with your trusted lieutenants, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those people who you can work with. So I think that for those who were in the previous cabinet that were at the forefront of battling the pandemic, I think you probably see some of the faces from the earlier cabinet in his cabinet. He may decide to trim down his cabinet. So I think it really depends. I think he really needs to have a very clear-sighted goal, which is to battle the pandemic, mm-hmm. and then get good, right, and professional people to deal with it.
Now, let's have a look at what happened then to other UMNO leaders. We're talking mm-hmm. about the former Prime Minister, Najib Razak, or UMNO President Ahmed Zahid Hamidi. Where do they fit into all of this?
I think at the moment, I don't think they are going to say anything much, because mm-hmm. what you see right now is a return of UMNO. I mean, Vice President of UMNO is now the Prime Minister of Malaysia. So, as far as UMNO is concerned, whether you're talking about one particular segment of UMNO or another, it's still, you know, at the end of the day, UMNO is now leading the country. So I think for Zahid Hamidi and Najib Razak, I think at the moment, seems like I don't think they're going to thwart any efforts to not make, to prevent Ismail Sabri for becoming Prime Minister.
Mm-hmm.
But I think also it would depend on what were their charges hovering over them. So I think all these things would really be clarity once Ismail Sabri has become Prime Minister, what his strategy is.
So what happens next for Muhyiddin Yassin then?
Yes, I think this is something that Ismail Sabri also have to think through mm-hmm. very carefully. Either he perhaps provides him with an advisory or mentoring capacity, because how he manages Muhyiddin Yassin would also determine how the coalition, the Perikatan National Coalition, would take to him. So I think he has to perform a very tricky balancing act here. And I think it also would depend on what Muhyiddin himself wants, whether he wants to remain in the cabinet or have some kind of capacity or just gracefully exit. So I think the two of them will certainly have a conversation and decide what's best. Not just for the cabinet itself and for the government, but also what's the best for the country.
Now, we need to bring out the other players in the political landscape there in Malaysia. Of course, Anwar Ibrahim on one side, and you still have the former Prime Minister Mahathir Mohamad as well. Do they figure into anything here, or perhaps mount a challenge somewhere down the road?
Down the road, of course, there's always a possibility. But I think right now, so long Ismail Sabri is able to maintain the lawmakers that he has right now, then mm-hmm. I don't think that would prevent him from becoming Prime Minister. It's just that he might have to think about reaching out to the other side, extending a hand of friendship, working with them in the spirit of bipartisanship. Some have called for a unity government. But a unity government in theory sounds good, but in practice it's very difficult. So perhaps it could be a cabinet that he has full trust in, and then mm-hmm. with that cabinet reaching out to those that are not in the cabinet from the other the other coalitions, and get everyone on the same page, and that same page being very clearly battling the pandemic and the ramifications from the pandemic, particularly on the economy and the livelihoods of Malaysians.
We're speaking with Dr. Mustafa Azuddin, Senior Analyst in Social and International Affairs at Solaris Strategies Singapore. Dr. Azuddin, monitoring the political situation in Malaysia, in the past it's been very rare for monarchs to intervene in politics, but it's been quite a different scenario this time around. How do you think the events of the past few months will shape the relationship between royalty and the nation's political landscape going forward?
It was certainly unprecedented. We've seen the royals do, but I suppose it was important that they did it for the country. So it was in the interest of the country. I think for the royals, they would certainly keep a close watch on what's going on. But I think at the end, they may want to return to what they are, royals, and not being involved
mm-hmm.
in such a high-profile way in political developments. I think it was a very unusual and emergency situation, therefore they got themselves involved. But I think what they want to see is a government that can really deliver, and therefore they can then return to their role of just looking from the background and ensuring the country is in good hands.
Okay, so what are you going to be looking out for next? What's the swearing-in takes place tomorrow at 2:30? What else are your eyes going to be on?
I think the first is people are going to look at who's going to be in his cabinet, including perhaps who's going to be his deputy prime minister if he chooses to have a deputy. they're also going to look at how he's going to reach out to those that could potentially mount a challenge for the prime ministership. He's also probably going to roll out a plan or a strategy on how the country is going to deal with the pandemic. But I think it would be a conciliatory message that he's going to put forward, one that seeks to unify the country. And you need that measure of a message of assurance to lawmakers, but also to the country that, now that he's become prime minister, he's going to get down and really put all his effort in battling the pandemic. And this is the kind of message I think Malaysians would want to hear.
Okay, well, Dr. Izzuddin, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us this evening and helping us to analyse that breaking news that Malaysia has now announced who will be the 9th Prime Minister. That's Ismail Sabri Yaakob. Thank you again. Have a wonderful evening and take care and stay safe.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Dr. Mustafa Izzuddin, Senior Analyst in Social and International Affairs at Solaris Strategies Singapore. You're listening to Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.